date is 25 October 1995. It's a Wednesday morning. The interview subject is Mrs. Martha Treadaway, who was a high school counselor at Jacksonville, Alabama, for around 30 years. The interviewer is Mike Balser. And the place of interview is in Roe Hall on the campus of JSU. The time is 8:34 on Wednesday the 25th, and I'm sitting in the conference room in Roe Hall with Mrs. Martha Treadaway. The purpose of the interview is to garner her observations as a woman on the history of women educators here in Jacksonville. And ma'am, I thought it would be a good place to start with you because as a counselor, maybe your observations were a little more objective. Perhaps you could watch educators at work and somehow glean what their feelings were as an observer, maybe more as a person who was in the classroom. Am I close? Can you help me?
Well, I spent a number of years in the classroom before I went into counseling.
Okay.
So I almost have two careers, one as a classroom teacher and then the other as a counselor.
For how many years did you work for the same school system? Were you always in Jacksonville?
No, I was not. I received my B.S. in secondary education, and at that time I worked for approximately 3.5 years in Birmingham, within the Birmingham city system. I went to school during the summers, and I received my master's in guidance and counseling at the end of August, and then I began teaching chemistry, physics, biology, and general science in the Jacksonville City School. At that time, we had very few school counselors, and after I taught for approximately 12 years, I was then made part-time science and part-time counselor, and later, I was full-time counselor. I resigned when our girls were born, and I stayed home with them until our youngest went to kindergarten, when I was very, very lucky that my position opened up again in Jacksonville. So I returned in 1975, and I stayed there until 1995, until July of this year when I officially retired.
May I ask when you began with the Jacksonville system?
I began in 1954, and I taught there until 1967, when our daughter was born on November 5th. And I had gotten a leave of absence as of the 1st of October, so I worked up until that time. And then I went back February 1st, and about a month later, I decided I couldn't be a full-time mom and a full-time counselor. So I resigned at the end of my 12-month contract. And I worked through October, and then I resigned, and then I had another baby after that, and I was out for a number of years. And then I went back full-time in 1975, so from 75 to 95.
Well, Martha, I have a question about your leave of absence. Was that maternity-based?
Yes, it was. I felt like I wanted to try to continue my career and also have a family. And I was very fortunate that my mother-in-law lived across the street from the high school, so she and her helpers could take care of the baby. So I was close by. I could even go home at lunch and so on. But that was my choice.
Well, I ask about the maternity base because I didn't know that they had that anywhere was very cognizant of a mother's need to take a break and then come back to work at a later time. And for 69, that seems kind of unusual.
Actually, it was 67.
Okay.
I don't know. I had a good rapport with my superintendent and my principal, and I just asked for a leave from October until the February.
Was that a common thing?
Yeah. No, not really. been thinking about my background, and I don't know if any time when I was teaching in Birmingham, where someone took off and had a baby and came back, and until that time, I don't know if anyone in the Jackson City system. Now, that's not to say that it didn't happen, because there are many teachers there who had children. Most of them were older, and nine was one of the younger ones at that time.
But it was kind of unusual, though.
Perhaps so.
Not the same emphasis that we like to think we have today with maternity leave and stuff like that.
We even have pamphlet parties to welcome our teachers back, so it's a little different.
When you got to the Jacksonville system, did you move buildings at all? Were you always in the same location?
No. Are you familiar with the Jacksonville setup?
Yes, ma'am.
But you know there is a main building, and you know there is a building parallel to that in the back.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I taught chemistry, physics, biology, and general science in the main building. And then when I was vocational counselor, I was in the main building also, but in a different location. I was upstairs at one time, downstairs. And then later, when I returned as a junior high counselor in 75, I was in the so-called new building, which is parallel, and in the back of the main building. Later on, all the officers were moved to the main building, and I was got it sweet there up until the time of my retirement.
Then, is there anybody female who would stick out in your mind as an outstanding educator? Perhaps an example for us here in Jacksonville?
Yes, very much so. But men who taught me are living today. There are two female educators that are teaching at Jacksonville State that I feel are making a very positive impact on the lives of their students today. One is Dr. Jane Brown, who teaches elementary education, and the other is Dr. Margaret Pope, who teaches in the physical education department. Both of these women are truly interested in their students, not only as students, but as human beings. And I hear this from the student side rather than from actually being in the classrooms. They both go out of their way to help in class and outside of class. They keep up with the progress of their students and informally track their students' progress when completing their classes and graduating and even into the workforce. Both of these women are married, they have children. Interestingly enough, both are quite athletic. Both Dr. Brown, Dr. Pope run, and I've seen Dr. Brown bicycling. And they've continued their education. Both of them have terminal degrees. So I think both of them are real role models for our women today.
Ma'am, in the question of progressive education, when I say progressive education, I mean, given the early 1900s and the accent on life experience, education taught that we have some social concerns. That as a society, we kind of need to address those concerns in order to support each other. But people who became very socially involved were kind of branded and were given a hard time as being contrary to social order. And I was wondering if you had any insight to that, specifically in regards to maybe women educators.
No, not really. But let me tell you what I think of progressive education.
All right.
When I think of it as one of those teaching methods that take as their starting point children's own aptitudes and interests and encourage them to follow their own investigations and lines of inquiry. I always think about an example that was given. It says if Johnny wants to climb on the roof, let him climb on the roof. And when I think of the term progressive education, that's what I think of. I don't believe I've ever had a course as boring as one in which progressive education was incorporated. It was one of those courses that would turn a person's thinking processes completely opposite to anything mentioned in class. For this reason, I don't think I ever thought about it again until you mentioned it. Now, it seems like to me that the term that you have used would be one like the reform movement, where legislation was sold at the national, state, and local levels to improve the democratic processes, working conditions, welfare, and that type of thing. I can't remember a lot in class about this being mentioned. I'm sure that it was, however, as with many college students, I was interested in something only long enough to get a grade, and then I promptly forgot about it. So I'm afraid I can't help you there.
It almost seems like permissive education, what you're describing.
Right.
Yeah.
And there was quite a controversy about it at the time.
If I can jump back to the maternity leave issue, do you know if there are facilities available for teachers who have just had babies, for instance? When did that, or has it ever become an issue in Jacksonville, that daycare facilities or childcare?
In the early days when I began teaching, women usually quit the classroom until their babies were old enough for someone to take care of them, probably in school. Of course, things are quite different now. Babysitters are lined up far in advance of birth, and when doctors give okay that it's all right to go back to work, as many mothers do today. Today in Jacksonville, our teachers are definitely welcome back, but as far as facilities, by the school system or a regular quote-unquote daycare center in the city of Jacksonville, I really don't know of any. The Children's House was one of the first that I know of that would even care for children, but that's not to say they were not there. These are just
right.
This is just the one that I
organized.
Right, and when the Children's House began, it was not called the Children's House, but Mrs. Reed opened it in her home, and she was a very close neighbor of ours. So
Nancy Reed.
Our children went to her. It was very fortunate because they could walk.
Because generally, it's kind of difficult to find child support or child care in Jacksonville. Down at the Children's House, at the Creative School. When do they go down there and register their fetuses?
That's what I understand. I understand that. But I didn't have that problem. As I say, I was so fortunate. My mother-in-law was never too busy to take care of the children. And since she lived across the street from my high school, it really worked out well for me. Now, that's a rather an unusual situation, too. My girls are both adults now. They still remember the wonderful times that they had with their grandmother. She gave them the love and attention and so on, but she also gave them responsibility and learning experience that they've never forgotten. If she were given a tea, they would be there to help. And consequently, I think that they learn many social skills far beyond their ages.
If I were to seek out a common view, or what you thought was the common happening for child care, do you think most female educators' families supported them in going back to work, or would the family kind of drive them to stay home and raise the children through their high school years? Was there a trend?
Well, it's hard for me to imagine a wife and mother not having the support of her husband and family if she continued teaching. Contrary to some novices' opinion, I think teaching is stressful. I think it's hard work, but extremely rewarding. And I think there's no such thing as 3 months vacation. Maybe 3 months without pay is more like it. But it is hard for me to see how a teacher could go back and not have the support of family and husband.
You couldn't go back without that support.
I don't feel like I could. And even though I had it, I just felt like that I needed to stay home. That was important to me at the time when my children were living.
Was there anybody in your experience maybe who couldn't go back and teach because they were kind of alone and they had to bear that burden alone as a woman?
Well, again, I can't think of an incidence in our school system. I don't remember of that happening.